Welcome to Mind Walk, produced at Upstart Radio for Free Radio Santa Cruz, KRFP Radio Free Moscow, IndieMedia.org, RadioForAll.net, community and micropower stations worldwide.
Okay, we aren't racist. Even if it was a white illegal immigrant, I wouldn't want them here, okay? A white illegal immigrant. You got that?
Okay. Do you agree that America is the richest nation on the planet?
No. I think it has the best people on the planet. We're Canadians first.
So we're kind of bordering on nationalism now, aren't we?
Nationalism?
And what's wrong with nationalism?
America? Hey, look around.
These people that are coming over here making a living, send their money back. Just recently, the number one source of revenue in Mexico used to be oil. Now it's the money sent back by the billions. So Vicente Fox has the best of two worlds. He doesn't have to build an infrastructure. He doesn't have to build his roads and schools. Send them over here. Get on our roads. Cause our jam up. And also flood our school roads.
So we're kind of helping him by sending him all these people back with education.
We're not here to help him. Are we here to help him?
No, I mean, just by, you know, well, if they're going to come over here and we're going to educate them, don't you think we should, like, at least embrace that so they can help build our country?
They
don't pledge their allegiance to this country. They call me a Nazi. They call me a racist. They spit on me. They raise flags bigger than this down there. Did you go down there and see the rally earlier? Did you see the Mexican flag?
No, I missed it.
You don't miss it. You won't see that in the paper, though, will you? They won't take a picture and show the protesters or the goons down there with their flags waving there. Mexican flags is what they are, by the way. You don't see those.
We can respect all flags in America.
You know what? He's playing dumb. Why are you even talking to him?
I don't know. Why would you want to respect for your flags in this country?
I respect
this is America.
Flag.
This is America.
And everything that it means.
What does it mean to you? You're a racist. You know why you're a racist?
Why is that?
Because you allow people, because they look like you, they can break the law, they can come in this country, they can do anything they want, and you support it. And you tell me that's not racist.
They look like me? What do I look like?
What do you look like?
Xenophobia.
Huh?
What do I look like?
All right, you're going to take this sign too?
What do I look like?
You look like a racist.
They
don't pledge their allegiance to this country. They call me a Nazi, they call me a racist, they spit on me, they raise flags bigger than this.
There's nothing more romantic than fantasy, and we can make the war on terror distract them like videos and TV shows with scantily clad women, cover them with oil, rub it in like lotion, put F-16s in the skies and battleships in the ocean. The voters won't notice. Tell them you're either with us or you're against us, and in the same breath over-vaccinate our soldiers. They'll want to believe these lies are the truth to the point that even Cynthia McKinney with proof won't be able to convince them that there's a connection between the war on terror and the Carlisle Group. They'll need to believe these lies are true. I said over-vaccinate our soldiers and coat their ammunition with radioactive DU. Fear is the final frontier of the defenseless. If it's logical, tell them it's senseless. You're either with us or you're against us. It's all about confusion. Name it the Patriot Act if it acts against the Constitution. One man, one vote is a joke. You should be more concerned about your family being broke. Poof. Mirrors. Smoke. Now watch me raise spending and lower taxes. The answer to any question that the 911 commission might ask is, we believe that stem cell research is immoral. North Korea has WMDs. Translation, time for Operation Iraqi Freedom. Sacrifice American lives on Baghdad soil. Earn more from our investments in defense and increase our supply of oil. The question is, how come we haven't done anything about the genocide in Darfur? The answer is, we believe in protecting the sanctity of marriage. Just give them a slogan. Let's roll. We're gonna smoke them out of their holes. Watch the hands. Watch the hands. In this hand, Osama bin Laden. In this hand, the World Trade Center explodes. Now, I know you want me to get them for you, but the $200 billion question is, how much is it worth to you for me to allow my cronies' investments in defense to work for you? Don't worry about what we knew prior to the fact about the attacks. That's a distraction. Carol Ann, look away from the oil fields. The important thing to remember is that voting for my opponent will get you killed. There's a connection between his election and your family's demise. That's why African American voters have have to be disenfranchised. Neo-democracy means the electronic voting machine companies get to help us decide. That way you can win the election and still lose. That's the new world order. Global economy, no borders, no sovereignty, widow's cries, corporate plutocracy. True lie.
As I speak, President Bush is in big trouble. His approval rating is below 40%, 2% for African Americans, folks, and that ain't no joke. And more Americans want to see him impeached than wanted Bill Clinton impeached on the eve of his actual impeachment. As the Bush White House continues to become embroiled in scandal, chaos, and paranoia, it's tempting to compare this administration with that of Nixon. And by my yardstick, Bush far outdoes Nixon in terms of nastiness, vindictiveness, arrogance, heck, anything but intelligence. Of course, I can't claim any recollection of the details of Nixon's presidency as they actually occurred, though I'm sure it impressed my toddler's psyche with a lifelong distrust of the government. But correct me if I'm wrong, Nixon's real downfall was his paranoia. Watergate was about bugging and stealing from the Democratic National Convention. Bush's Waterloo, on the other hand, has to do with his administration's proclivity to smear and kick around anyone who gets in their way. So when Joseph Wilson started criticizing Bush's claim that Saddam Hussein was seeking uranium from Niger to make nuclear weapons, suddenly a bunch of reporters hear about his undercover CIA wife, and Robert Novak actually writes about it. So, whereas Nixon kept a secret enemies list, Bush's enemies are as visible as Saturday morning roadkill. Just look for the smear. Nixon was sneaky and subtle enough to earn the nickname Tricky Dick. For the Bush-era Republicans, however, I'd say the watchword is hubris. What word better describes these words from now-indicted former House Majority Leader Tom DeLay? When told that smoking on government property was against federal regulations, DeLay responded, "I am the federal government." However, as self-professed born-again Christians DeLay and George W. Bush ought to know, the Bible says pride goeth before a fall. And if history's any indication, the neoconservatives who have infested our government have a very long way to fall indeed. I'm Jody Paulson, and I just thought you should know.
To listen to archive editions of What They Don't Tell You, go to radio.indymedia.org or www.radioforall.net.
Anytime you hear the United States government talking about wiretap, a wiretap requires a court order. Nothing has changed, by the way. When we're talking about chasing down terrorists, we're talking about getting a court order before we do so.
Well, when the president does it, that means that it is not illegal.
Nothing has changed, by the way.
All right, Albuquerque, here we go.
The 31st of January, in the hallowed year, election year of 06, could be a memorable day if we all do our part, which is simply to concentrate, among other things, and do perhaps what a couple of groups have decided would be useful before the president gives his State of the Union. We might give him some idea of our state, which is one of great dissatisfaction with him and his regime. And there is talk of perhaps demonstrating in front of the Capitol or here or there around the country to show that the Union is occupied by people who happen to be patriots. And patriots do not like this government. This is an unpatriotic government. This is a government that deals openly in illegalities, whether it is attacking a country which has done us no harm, two countries, Iraq and Afghanistan, because we now believe, not in declaring war through Congress as the Constitution requires, but the President. Well, I think they're some terrorists over there, and I think we got to bomb them, huh? We'll bomb them. Now, we've had idiots as presidents before. He's not unique, but he's certainly the most active idiot that we have ever had. And now here we are, planning new wars, ongoing wars in the Middle East. And so, as he comes with his State of the Union, which he's going to justify eavesdropping without judicial warrants on anybody in the United States that he wants to listen in on. This is what we call dictatorship. 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 And it is time that we object. Don't say wait to the next election and do it through that. We can't trust the elections thanks to Diebold and S&S and all the electronic devices which are being flogged across the country to make sure that elections can be so rigged that the villains will stay in power. I think sudden demonstrations across the country could be very useful on this famous Tuesday. Just say no. We've had enough of you. Go home to Crawford. We'll help you raise the money for a library, and you won't even ever have to read a book. We're not cruel. We just want to get rid of you and let you be an ex-president with his own library, which you can fill up with friends of yours who can neither read nor write. But they'll be well-served and well-paid, we hope, by corporate America, which will love you forever. So I think it is really up to us to give some resonance to this State of the Union, which will be largely babble. He's not going to really try to do anything about Social Security. We read in the papers. He has no major moves other than going on and on about the legality of his illegal, warrantless eavesdropping and other breakings of the law. I was on, had a piece on the internet, some of you may have seen, a few days ago. And there was a story about Tiberius, who's one of my favorite Roman emperors. He's had a very bad press because the wrong people perhaps have written the history. But when he became emperor, the Senate of Rome sent him congratulations with the comment, any law that you want us to pass, we shall do so automatically. And he sent the message back. He said, this is outrageous. Suppose I go mad. Suppose I don't know what I'm doing. Suppose I'm dead and somebody's pretending to be me. Never do that. Never accept something like preemptive war, which luckily the Senate did not propose preemptive wars against places they didn't like. But Mr. Bush has done that. So this is a sort of Tiberius time without basically a good emperor. And he was a good emperor in the sense that he sent back this legislation, which was to confirm anything he wanted to have done automatically. And they sent it back to him again. And then he said, how eager you are to be slaves. And washed his hands of the Senate, went to live in Capri, much wiser choice, just as we could send this kid back to Crawford, Texas, where he'll be very, very happy, cutting bushes of the leafy variety. Now, it is a time people say, well, it makes no difference what we do. You know, if we march and we make speeches and this and that, it makes a lot of difference. If millions of Americans just say, we are fed up, we don't like you, we don't like what you're doing to the country and what you have done to the country, we don't like to live in a lawless land where the rule of law has just been bypassed and hacks are appointed to the federal bench who will carry on all the illegalities which are so desperately needed by our military, industrial, corporate masters. I think a day dedicated to that and to just showing up here and there around the country will be a good thing to do. And so let the powers that be know that back of them there is something called We the People of the United States, and all sovereignty rests in us, not in the boardrooms of the republics.
There's no turning back now. Jump aboard, jump aboard, jump aboard, jump aboard.
Who knows what lies ahead?
Hang on to your lobes.
Get out of my
Godzilla. Real patriots. There are two kinds of patriots in this country. There's the flag-waving kind, who follows the president into every war he wants to wage, and who says we must never criticize what our leaders do. Then there's the real patriots, who care enough about their country to want to improve it. Their patriotism has a social content. They know that democracy is not just the ability to hold elections. Democracy must also serve the needs and interests of the people. Real patriots educate themselves about the real history of their country and are not satisfied with the flag-waving promotional fluff that passes for history. They find important things in our past to be proud of, such as the struggle for universal suffrage, the abolitionist movement, the peace movement, the elimination of child labor, the civil rights movement, the struggle for collective bargaining, the 8-hour day, occupational safety, and the struggle for gender equality. In the real patriots' pantheon can be found Tom Paine, Harriet Tubman, Frederick Douglass, Mark Twain, Susan B. Anthony, Mother Jones, Big Bill Haywood, Eugene Victor Debs, Elizabeth Gurley Flynn, Jeanette Rankin, Rosa Parks, Paul Robeson, Harry Bridges, Walter Reuther, Martin Luther King, and the millions in the ranks who brought these and other champions of social justice to the fore. Real patriots don't easily succumb to the fears about external menaces that are propagated by our rulers.
I'm talking to you, Gaga.
Instead, they focus on the things that people really should fear: the potentially catastrophic threat of global warming, the baneful and overpowering influence of money in our political life, the growing instances of electoral coercion, fraud, and thievery, the overweening and unaccountable power of corporations, the rampant corporate crime that involves the plundering of billions of dollars from the public treasury and public savings, the underfunding and deterioration of public services, the gargantuan, profit-driven, bloated military budget, the runaway national debt that siphons hundreds of billions from the public treasury every year and threatens the entire financial structure of the nation, the repressive laws that steal away our liberties under the guise of national security, and the oil-driven foreign policy of perpetual war and unlawful aggression that has made the United States the most hated nation in the world. This concept of real patriotism is not just a peculiar notion of mine. During the early part of the 20th century, school teachers who were part of the progressive movement advocated a civic patriotism, as they called it in those days, in which the work of a patriot is not so much to fight and die for his country as it is to work and live to make it a grand nation. That was the quote they used then. Meanwhile, today we see signs of real patriotism emerging. Fewer Americans are equating militarism with patriotism. In 2003, the National Lawyers Guild reported rising numbers of soldiers were seeking legal assistance in refusing to fight or attempting to withdraw from the armed services. That's patriotic. And the number of young people who say they will never consider joining the military rose from 40% in 1980 to 64% in 2000, even though job opportunities diminished during that period. Nor did the 9/11 events boost recruitment or reverse the trend. This doesn't mean that young people love their country less. It just means that they do not wish to devote themselves to the risks and evils of war. Almost two-thirds of Americans in one survey agreed with the statement that the U.S. plays the role of world policeman more than it should, and only 12% thought that the U.S. should continue as the preeminent world leader in solving international problems. Once again, the people are ahead of their leaders, not because they're so much smarter, but because they have their own genuine interests at heart rather than those of the global aggrandizers. This is Michael Parenti for Radio Truth.
This commentary was produced by the LA Sound Posse and may be freely copied and distributed. You can find us on the web at lasoundposse.org.
What is continental on your tape? What's wrong with it? Think out crosswaves or something?
Wide of the mark.
It wasn't on the tape, folks. I might have thought you were a fella in drag with implants.
Get it, you rat.
So I got up on the table.
You got all the images in it.
Rabbit. So I got up on the table.
Oh,
not bad.
birthday.
You rat.
They got all the images in it. Or whatever you get at.
This is a public service announcement about a bastard named Scooter who does a radio show called The Inner Side. Scooter pretends to be an independent producer, but he's just another one of those gutless, spineless Pacifica hypocritical pacifists with a Che Guevara t-shirt and a baseball hat with a peace sign. Pacifica is all about free speech during fun drives. I'm now with Atlantica, and you, Scooter, and your Pacifica band of fakers can go fuck yourselves. We believe in free speech in Atlantica. If you even mention anything that sounds remotely against free speech in the Atlantica radio network, we stick a combat boot so far up your ass that you taste it. I hate you, you goddamn granola-head Pacifica wussies.
We must confront ourselves. We know that all men and women are created good. We must understand why you have gone bad. You cannot play checkers with your life, jumping around like an old whirlwind, wrapping your dishes in plates, and then unpacking them and placing them back on the shelf. This is not the way the Jehovah One has designed you to act. Unless you are willing to admit that you are a gnome, a pink boy, a nini, a twig. Only then can you decide where your path shall lead you. But we know inherently that we are all created good by Jehovah One. Some of you got such bad luck sometimes in your life, you couldn't hang yourself with your own necktie. This is when you should look to Baal. When you look to Jehovah One and say, Baal, come into my life, and you shall see one set of footprints in the sand. And that is when you will know that Baal has charged you $5.99 to carry you to the nearest taxi. Praise Baal in his divine. You got to know that life is like a vanishing twin, a baby inside of a twin, inside of a woman's belly. That's how confusing this wiggly world can be. You gotta raise up above this wiggly world and grab the hand of Baal. Praise him and all that flows from Baal.
Anytime you hear the United States government talking about wiretap, a wiretap requires a court order. Nothing has changed, by the way. When we're talking about chasing down terrorists, we're talking about getting a court order before we do so.
Well, when the president does it, that means that it is not illegal.
This has been Mind Walk, an Upstart Radio production.